Welcome to First Turn, where we play board games for the first time and discuss our immediate reactions. It's like book club, but for board games. I'm Eric, and with me is BP.
Hello.
It's
so weird not having Kiwi here.
Kiwi-less today, so hopefully we know what to do.
Sure, of course we do. We always make the best games.
Professional expert. Today we're going to be playing Jaipur, designed by Sebastian Pouchon, who has designed Jamaica and Metropolis. The artist is Alexander Roche of Troyes, Bruxelles, Carson City. That's Brussels in Belgium, I assume. The Golden Ages and Radis. It's published by Asmodee in the US. The description is, you are one of the two most powerful traders in the city of Jaipur, capital of Rajasthan. But that's not enough for you, because the only merchant with two seals of excellence will have the privilege of being invited to the Maharaja's court. You're therefore going to have to do better in your direct competitor by buying, exchanging, and selling at better prices, all while keeping an eye on both your camel herds. The mechanics are card drafting, hand management, score and reset game, and set collection.
Is it a deck builder?
You don't know. It's not a deck builder. You don't dislike card draft. Card drafting is like Cat Lady and Sushi Go and stuff like that. The box art is a very colorful Middle Eastern man with a camel in the background. Looks like a Persian man. Yeah. Oh, yeah. It is India, isn't it? So, okay. That's interesting. I don't think a camel's in India. Do you?
Well, Rajasthan is, it looks like, a northern section of India. So kind of along the borders of Pakistan.
Yeah. So I guess so it's an Indian man, possibly Sikh, because the headdress then. So we're selling a number of goods, some camels, some nice bright blue sky, some birds. Would you pick this up off the shelf?
I mean, you had me at camels.
Yeah, we mostly picked this because it's a camel game.
So I was thinking about like our choices and thinking about what kind of stereotype it would go with, right? And it definitely has that Five Tribes vibe to it, you know, where it's like this cartoony, stereotypical. So is it Middle Eastern? Is it Indian? You know, there is, especially along northern India, some of that kind of, from a Western perspective, you could say blurring, obviously, right? Many locals would have a much more distinctive, ideas of identity and differing, but it definitely still plays into that kind of Alibaba kind of, you know, Arabian Nights stories, coffee pour pitcher, that's what that is, where you pour things out of. Definitely has that kind of genie in the lamp kind of feel to it. He's got gems, which of course gems were one of the big items. So it's that like stereotypical. So being stereotypical, I'd probably be like, ugh, I don't know. But again, the camels, the description does sound like this kind of competitive, I don't know.
We've played a number of kind of card drafting, hand management, set collection games, Cat Lady, Santa Monica. We do enjoy them, but I think we've played other ones that we don't enjoy that much. So I think the rule set is kind of hit or miss. We'll see. I'm kind of with you. And like, if I would look at this box and be like, this seems way too stereotypey and a little over the top for me to pull off the shelf.
So we don't have Kiwi here at all.
Think it's going to be played? Do you know how it's going to be played? Because I don't.
No.
Okay.
I don't. I pulled up the rules before as I was pulling everything up, but I haven't looked at them because, you know, who reads rules?
Yeah, exactly. So today is going to be a little different in that we have no idea how to play going into it. So how do we think it's going to be played? Well,
we got to get camel herds. So what I'm curious about, we got to buy, exchange, sell at better prices than our competitors. So that's got to be part of the hand management, but so are the camel herds. So we got to be also, I'm real curious if there's different kinds of camels.
No, I'm guessing that it's going to be one type of camel because I Googled there is a India camel that is native to Rajasthan. So I'm assuming it is that camel. Oh. But yeah, we're going to be merchants though. So I think our core thing is going to be like, we're going to be drafting probably like goods, right? That we want to sell. And then somehow the camel herds are going to be maybe transport. So we're going to be.
Yeah. So probably thinking that this is India merchants, we're going to go spices, gems, probably cloth, cotton.
Yep. And we're going to want sets of things. And it's score and reset. So it's going to be in rounds. So it'll be like maybe this round we're going to want, spices.
Gems.
And we're gonna, gems. And we're going to like collect gems and then put it on our camel herd. I don't actually really know where the camels come in at all, but they're going to be there and they're going to be camels.
It's going to be camel fantastic.
Camel-tastic.
Yeah. Yeah. There we go. We've nailed it.
We've nailed it. We got the most important thing.
So we got to sell stuff at better prices. So is it like the more you have of a collection, sell it? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay.
I bet there's going to be like a round objective or maybe it'll be set each round where like, you know, gems are worth this much, spices are worth this much, and you're going to try to collect a bunch of sets of them and then put them on camels. Okay. Well, we got it. And you know what the best thing is? Kiwi's not here to tell us we're wrong.
Exactly. We are so right. And it's going to be a fantastic game with camels.
So history of Rajasthan.
Yeah, I didn't go that route. I went camels.
Even better.
Because I was real excited when we picked this based on all I knew was merchants and camels. And so like part of when I start talking about the Silk Roads networks, right, that started under the Han Dynasty. So you're looking at, right, like kind of the turn from BCE to CE. And in fact, the camel was domesticated about 3000 BCE in some areas. Real interesting because the horse was actually domesticated around 6000 BCE, but camels, of course, are going to be super fantastic for being able to go long distances. And especially when you think about what we now refer to as the Middle East, as Central Asia as well, because there's, of course, lots of, even if they're arid deserts, there's lots of desertscape in those areas. And so camels are, and I've heard this one tour guide actually talk about them as ships of the desert. And I always kind of thought about them though in those same terms. And so I always get super excited when I'm talking to my students about these camel caravans that used to cross these expanses. And it's not as if like one merchant ever made the entire journey. Like, that's the thing. So like, right, if we're merchants in Jaipur, right, we would be connecting to other merchants who maybe brought stuff in from, right, the south of India, maybe even from the Southeast Asian islands and things like that, right? And then we'd be connecting them to merchants either from the Arabian Peninsula or, right, from some of the maybe even Turkish groups, right, from Central Asia and parts like that. So there were always these kind of just stopping points and connections. But they're so fascinating to trade because even when you bring then a little bit later in like the more medieval period and you bring Africa into the whole trade networks and especially, you know, sub-Saharan trade with gold and things like that and salt, the camel becomes very vital again because of crossing the deserts, but they're like, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of cattle, of camels, sometimes even thousands. And it just to me is so fascinating to think about like how so many would like, it's just, I mean, like almost miles of camel carrying stuff, right? Like, it's just, like we think of like the longest train you've ever seen to transport stuff. And think of that as like three times as long, but made up of camels. Like, I don't know. It seems so fascinating to me, you know? And they can carry like hundreds of pounds. And then they store the ships of the sea or the ships of the desert faster because they store their water in their hooves and they're walking on water. I don't know. Like the camel is so great.
So it's interesting because I had a boss from Sudan and he said like as a kid, they would have like the camel caravans like go through. So like even I guess, you know, even modern times is still using the camels to get things around. So.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like they're still valuable creatures for sure. I always thought they were supposed to be a little bit ornery, but.
Oh, yeah. I've heard stories about how they have like a good memory and they hold a grudges.
So be nice to your camel.
All right. So rule section. We don't know.
Kiwi.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe we can insert a clip of Kiwi talking here. Maybe not. Yeah. We will recap the rules after the game.
Yeah. Because there'll be some. There'll be some rules.
I
mean,
I assume there are rules to this game. We just don't know them yet. Tune in after the break to learn the rules.
Well, I guess with that, let's play.
We just finished a game of Jaipur. To recap, I won with 2 Seal of Excellences, 2 BP's 0 Seal of Excellences.
I am excellent.
Yep, in your own way. So winning strategy or strategy in general, I think I did more of the high value stuff. I got some rubies and some gold. You crushed on the leather and the spices
and the camels
You won first round. You had the most camels. Second round, we tied on camels. I think each round I won by less than 10 points. We did not record it. Kiwi will be disappointed in us. Yeah. So any strategy you had?
I think, you know, like the first round, just trying to figure it out. And then, except for camels. Right. I was definitely going for the camels. And then I don't know. Just and then once I realized like some of those bonuses and like how to get them and then to deplete them, I thought just like I went for just a hand of leather at one point. Yeah. But it's leather. So,
yeah, but you did get a big five bonus for it, which are worth a lot. So,
yeah. So I don't know. Obviously, it wasn't a winning strategy, but. So camels are not the winning strategy.
Oh, they're only worth 5 points, which is not a lot. I think they should probably be worth a little bit more. It's more just like a bonus. And then I think otherwise you kind of have the choice of like, do you go for the easy to get leather and spices and get a big 5 bonus for it? Or do you go for the high value stuff, which are worth more, but you probably don't get as many bonuses. So I think in this case, it seemed like the high valued ruby and gold.
High value.
Turns out ruby and gold worth a lot. Who would have thought? On the theme, did you feel like a Indian trader merchant?
Maybe. I don't know. Collecting cards and then selling them.
I would say it could pretty much be themed as anything, right? You're collecting a set. You're selling them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because again, like the disconnect with the camels didn't really come into play. Like I could see like you needed so many camels to transport your stuff, then it might seem a little bit more merchant-y, I guess.
Yeah, like maybe if like you could, the more goods you sold, you had to have like enough camel to carry the goods and you would get a bonus for that or something. Maybe like if the camels were more tied to the bonus for number of sales. It's like, you know, if you wanted to sell 7 leather, you'd need 3 camels to carry it all. I don't know. Something like that may have been more. Otherwise, it was just sort of like you had some camels over there. They didn't really do much.
Yeah.
Or they didn't really impact the sale.
Yeah. It seemed like a cool theme, but it wasn't significantly tied to gameplay.
Right. I'd say the biggest thing would be like kind of the supply and demand of like you rubies are worth more, but you don't get as many. So you don't sell as many. That's probably the best thing. But again, it could be. Could probably be anything. And then in terms of just a theme on top, it was all right. For us, the camels playing a more interesting role would have been big, obviously.
We have a thing for camels.
Yeah. What'd you think of the art?
mean, it, yeah, I mean, it was clear. Like, I knew what was cloth compared to leather, compared to camels. But, like, I don't know, it wasn't particularly interesting. There wasn't any, like, even fun flavor text for such a, you know.
Yeah, it's lackluster. This is a game where you could really benefit from stylized art, like a Sushi Go or Cat Lady, where the art is just fun and whimsical. Whereas this is pretty cut and dry, not too interesting, which in a card drafting game, I feel like the art is really important.
Yes. Yeah. No, this was just cookie cutter, like plain text. Like, I've got like brown leather. I've got pink cloth. I've got, you know, red rubies. Like,
yeah, I do like the little tokens. Those are kind of a cool feature. It's nice to have sort of poker chip type tokens to add a little, you know, different to just having cards or something. But mechanics. What did you think as like a card drafter comparing it to a Sushi Go or Cat Lady or something like that?
I don't know. I think the thing with like Sushi Go, like the original, is that it's interesting because you're, and this is kind of the same with almost Abandon All Artichokes, right? Is that you're like passing, or there's like, there's different takes on the drafting. This was just pretty much like draw.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Card drafting, you kind of have, this is the very standard. You have a row of cards. Yeah. You select from the row of cards. You know, Cat Lady has a grid layout you got to pick, or Sushi Go has the pass and draw or Seven Wonders. So this is about as basic of a card drafting as you can get. I guess the biggest unique thing is you can do the exchange. So you're not always picking one card. You could exchange your hand for other cards. I don't think we did that a whole lot. But it does kind of add at least a little bit of interesting. That's probably the most interesting mechanic, I would say, as a card drafter. And I wouldn't say it came into play a whole lot.
Not a whole lot at all. I think I did it once.
It does make it nice to, like, you never have to like worry about, I have nothing I want. I draw and it's useless because you could potentially exchange it later. So a couple times I was like, I'll take some leather and hopefully exchange it for gold later or something. But yeah, rules, BP.
So we figured it out. Like, we rock.
We did.
Yeah. So,
Before we get into it, should we do a quick how it played recap, I guess, at this point, since we didn't do it earlier?
Yeah.
So how it actually played, as opposed to our guess, which I can't even remember if we were close or not. The way it worked was you would get a hand of, so there would be a row of cards to draft. In this case, five cards. They'd be different goods: leather, spices, cloth, silver, gold, ruby, camels. And then you would either pick one, you draft a card. You could either draft a good, you could draft all the camels that are out, or you could exchange cards, which would be multiples. So, and then your goal would to basically get a set. So if I had three rubies, I could turn in three rubies. I would get three of the ruby tokens.
On a separate turn.
Yeah, on a different turn.
Like, you couldn't sell and draw on the same turn. Like, you had one action per turn.
And so when you sold, you would sell however many you would want. You would get a little sort of poker chip token for each of those. And those would have different values. So, like, they'd start out higher. Mm-hmm. So the first ruby you sold would be worth more than the last ruby you sold. And then if you sold 3, 4, or 5+, you would also get a bonus token. And then those would all add up over the game. So you'd be collecting goods, selling them, and building your camel herd. And at the very end of the round, when you depleted three of the token types, you would calculate all of the points you have. The person with the most camels gets a bonus. And then that whoever has the most gets a seal of excellence, which is just you won the round. And then it's best 2 out of 3 rounds. I think that's the gist of the game, unless I missed something.
I think the only other thing to take note of is that your max hand was 7.
Excluding camels.
Like, the most you could ever. Yeah, excluding camels, because you held those separately. But like, yeah. So like, the one time I had the leather that I got the 5 bonus for is I sold all, like, I had a hand of 7. I sold it. And then, like, with the depleting the rows, like, the most worthwhile rows had less that you could deplete from versus, right, like,
leather had the most.
Leather. Yeah. And I think the cards were set up that way, too.
Yeah, cards had the most leather and stuff like that. Yeah, I guess one of the weird parts in the rules say, you know, you don't have to show how many camels you have, but then it also says to put them on the table in front of you. So, it seemed kind of obvious looking at a stack. I guess it was really close. Maybe you'd have a hard time differentiating like four camels versus five. But if somebody were, you know, had a ton of camels and you had one, it would be pretty obvious. Play interaction. It's card drafting. So there's that.
Yeah.
I think there were a couple of times I saw you taking something. So I took that type just to prevent you when there was nothing else I wanted. But usually I was going for the thing I wanted. Didn't really pay too much attention.
Yeah, same. I mean, there were a few times where I was like, oh, I see he just drew like these, like I would look over and there were only a few like of those tokens left. So I was like, I'm just going to go ahead and take this. Like, and I think only once did I hear you go, ugh. You know, so yeah, it is minimal.
I would say, yeah, probably the biggest thing is the token countdown. So watching, I should have, like the last turn you ended it before I was expecting it to, and I should have been paying more attention to that you had a seven card hand and you could probably do two cells and end the game. I guess it didn't have a huge impact because I still won the round. So
yeah,
I think that's probably the biggest thing is watching how the tokens are being depleted and then making sure you sell before. And then the camels, obviously. But like I said, that was kind of pretty straightforward. would you play it again?
Probably not.
Yeah.
I just feel like, I don't know, like we figured it out pretty quickly. And then I was like, I actually was thinking, by the end of the first round, I was like, I bet like someone super analytical could figure out like, you know, like how to get the best outcome. Like, is this really just a two player game? Because it just, I don't know. It just got so like the last round when we played two rounds, right? And we had it like pretty figured out by the second round. Mm-hmm. And it was pretty much like draw, refill, sell, you know, like I wanted something more.
Yeah, it's a pretty.
I mean, it's an older game. So maybe that was it. Because I thought it was like 2010 Yaroslavl.
Yeah, I think it was a 2009 game. I mean, it was fun to play. I just, like you said, there's not much to it. And I feel like I wouldn't need to play it again because we kind of did it already. And then there's the fact that there's so many card drafting games that Cat Lady, Sushi Go, all these games. Sushi and I feel like card drafters are better with multiple people.
Yeah.
I think they're just more interesting.
That's why I was like, is this really only two? Yeah. Like, yeah.
It didn't feel as like, you know, for me, a good two-player game is like a Watergate where you're trying to like figure out what the other person's doing and you're really in their head. And you couldn't
outwit him.
Yeah, you couldn't add more people because it would be too much. And it's, it was just sort of like flip cards and go. Like I said, it was okay. It was fine to play. I just don't feel I would need to play it again.
Yeah.
That is Jaipur.
So, camels aside, like, I feel like I really wanted this to be really good, too, so I could have, like, this great camel outtake, you know?
Just think of the camel herd. The giant the camel boat train.
Yeah, the camel boat train. There we go. So, if you have any recommendations of games that you would like to hear our impressions about, or any type of feedback whatsoever, feel free to send any of that our way. Email is firstturntabletop@gmail.com. Twitters and Instagrams are handled at firstturncast. And that, I just feel like then there's going to be like this chorus, right, of camel train. Boat train stating like thousands of camels in unison, please don't forget to rate review, subscribe, favorite podcatchers. We look forward to hearing from you and play more games.
Camel noises.
And if the new market is interesting, again, he or she will have to exchange cards and probably won't be able to take all the camels wanted. Let's just play. Yeah.
we have camel races here.
Oh, man. When are those?
During the Ostrich Festival, of course.
Oh, I have to wait for the download. I love our podcast. I look forward to it every Tuesday, and so should you.